You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The ongoing war between the US-Israeli coalition and Iran is a battle between three nations of three different faiths: Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Religious rhetoric and imagery has been deployed on all sides in order to arouse public support, with the Republican administration in the US making some less than subtle appeals to its evangelical Christian voter base. However, opinion polls show that the war continues to be unpopular in the United States, and while many evangelicals continue to support Trump, the administration's attempt to frame the conflict as a holy war has been a cause of confusion and annoyance for other sections of the American public. To help us understand the complex relationship between war, faith, and American politics, I spoke to Dr. Andrew Shepherd, Senior Lecturer in Theology at the University of Otago. It's been argued by many critics that the Trump administration has failed to build the kind of public support for the war with Iran that previous administrations were able to gather in preparation for previous overseas conflicts. Recent polls show that support for the war is low and that the American public is generally confused about the aims of the conflict. Secretary of State Marco Rubio has more or less stated outright that the United States was simply following Israel's lead in attacking Iran. So how does the US government's messaging around the war in Iran differ from other conflicts, and is this difference more plausibly explained by a lack of preparation or a deliberate change in strategy?
I think the confusion around messaging is because there's confusion itself about what the actual aims of the war are. And in that sense, there is no strategy. Rubio has said, you know, that essentially more or less there's a sense in which they feel like they've been following Israel's lead, but on the other hand, we hear the idea that they're involved in regime change. You know, so there's a set of sort of different reasons being given for the war. It's to stop the ability for weapons to be rained down on the states, even though obviously last year they said that they had obliterated the Iran nuclear program. So the fact that there's confusion is the confusion itself of the administration. And probably the better question to ask is there any strategy, or is this purely essentially a distraction? Is it the hubris of an administration which has seen the ways in which they can remove the head of Venezuela and create sort of a puppet regime there, and sort of the hubris that one can do the same thing again in Iran, which obviously if they had read history, they would have understood that that's not going to be a simple task.
So your main area of expertise is in theology, correct?
Yes, correct, yeah.
2 weeks ago, a rather bizarre scene played out in the Oval Office in which a large group of pastors gathered around President Trump, placed their hands on him, and prayed for his success as the press took photographs. Meanwhile, Marco Rubio has stated that Iran is run by, quote, religious fanatic lunatics, as part of his justification for dismantling that regime. Is there a risk that the American public is beginning to view their own government as being run by religious fanatic lunatics?
One would hope that there's an awakening that is indeed an element of that. I guess one of the questions depends on how one defines religious fanatical lunatics. A bit like the term sort of terrorist. One person's terrorist is another person's is a freedom fighter, and one person's religious fundamentalist lunatic is another person's faithful adherent to a faith. I think largely within the states, or certainly within pockets of the states, within sort of very conservative forms of what has become sort of evangelicalism, though recognising even that term itself is open to debate, the use of that term. But certain pockets of Christianity certainly are supportive of Trump. But more broadly, I think there is some real disquiet leading through to sort of just complete disdain about the sort of the ways in which the actions are tied up with sort of theological justifications and religious language.
You mentioned the term evangelical. For those who don't know, could you just give us a brief explanation on what that term means?
Well, nowadays when we use the term, almost it's simply used always pejoratively. So, you know, oh, an evangelical, and it's just immediately used as a way of a shorthand of speaking about North American evangelicals and sort of essentially MAGA supporters. The word has a much longer history. I mean, through to, people like William Wilberforce, who was involved in the abolition of slavery in the UK in the 18th and through into the 19th century, they were British evangelicals, part of a group called the Clapham sect, who are highly influential in terms of humanitarian forms of a Christian faith that then was engaged with social justice issues, etc. And actually, and that moves right through into the sort of the 20th century. So, for instance, in the United States itself, evangelicals or those who regarded themselves as evangelicals using that label right through the 1970s were strong Democrat voters. They were very involved in supporting Jimmy Carter and therefore deeply focused on environmental concerns and justice concerns. What happens from about the early 1980s is that sort of a conservative form of the Republican Party basically works out a way to build a relationship with this evangelical church, which is also, as well as being concerned with environmental and justice issues, is also concerned with sort of more moral issues, questions of abortion and sexuality. And essentially what happens is a marriage begins to form there, a marriage of convenience. And those sort of more, you could say, personal moral issues on around sexuality become the defining feature of evangelicalism. And then essentially what you've therefore had over the last 40 years is a cementing of that relationship between the evangelical church and the sort of the very conservative wing of the Republican Party, and then through into MAGA.
Okay, and could you help me understand the connection between North American evangelical Christians and Israel? There seems to be a view that support for the state of Israel among North American Christians is linked to a belief that the return of the Jews to the Holy Land is necessary to fulfill a biblical prophecy and bring about the end times. How widely subscribed is this kind of view among American Christians, and is there a sound biblical basis for it?
Good questions, Toby. Again, you know, you could give a whole lecture on this. Again, what you're talking about is sort of the 1960s, 1970s onwards, forms of American evangelicalism in terms of the way in which they read the Bible or interpret the Bible, particularly after 1948 and the coming into being of the State of Israel. They start reading the biblical texts in political ways of saying, oh, well, this is a fulfillment of a prophecy. And so you begin to get essentially the rise of a sort of a form of a Christian Zionism here. And that has always been present within forms of American evangelicalism, but again has become stronger and more strident in the last 40 years. So that again, now to be an American evangelical is to have sort of certain stances or postures, whether that be on abortion, whether that be on sexuality, or whether that be on being pro the modern day state of Israel. Again, that isn't necessarily shared across the Christian spectrum, either in North America, but also more broadly. But in the States, it's obviously it is a very strong voice.
Just to give an example of that kind of thing, recently the Military Religious Freedom Foundation has been inundated with complaints from US military personnel who say they've been bombarded with apocalyptic Christian messaging from their superiors in the army. There have been reports that a combat unit commander speaking to his troops cited the imminent return of Jesus Christ as a justification for the war with Iran, saying that President Trump has been anointed by Jesus to light the signal fire in Iran to cause Armageddon. As an expert in Christian theology, what do you make of those kinds of statements?
Well, I mean, I think I'm like your listeners. I mean, I find it deeply, deeply distressing. But again, this is always the case through, you know, Christian history. It's, and in fact, any religious histories, which is, you know, one way to read this would be this is what happens when lunatic fringe, in a sense, begin to create a theology which justifies their actions. So, I mean, yeah, it's deeply worrying that you have, say, Mike Huckabee, who more or less announces, well, Israel should be just able to take on the whole Holy Land because this fulfills a prophecy. And then you have Peter Hesketh, who's now the Secretary of War, who has a sort of apocalyptic idea of an end of age. And then you had, you know, you had funders like Peter Thiel, who from Palantir, who sees the sort of the moment that we're in a culture war as some sort of great clash of civilization. There is always recognizing that Christianity, like any religion, is a broad tradition. It doesn't play well when we sort of create this sort of monolithic understanding that sort of this is the mainstream. It's better to understand this as sort of on the fringes of what is mainstream Christianity.
That was Professor Andrew Shepherd from the University of Otago.
That was was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.